you'll come forward, and Joshua and Zach and Whitney, Yasa and Sebastian is coming today to join our church. And Mr. Devin, where's Devin? Devin in the building? Right here. Devin, come up today. This young man here has been around for a long time here. And a few weeks ago, he was sitting right back there, and he raised his hand for rededication. And when I got his card, response card, and he put on there, he is making a new commitment. He'd like to join our church officially. I feel like you've kind of grown up as a young man by making that commitment. And our executive pastor, he said, Eric, he said, I have seen a change in Devin. And so we know that's through the power of Jesus Christ. And so we just commend you for your next step and saying, I want to be a part of prayer of faith. And you know what that means, don't you? That means now you got to pray for us every day. Or as often as you will. And that's what it means for us. We'll be praying for you as well. And so we're excited today for this group. And I'll ask if maybe Adam can come and our elder. And is Eric still in the building? Or is he out? He's not here. Okay. Just come if you would and just stand with these. Let's just join hands and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you today for these families that are represented here today. We ask, God, that you would place them in this body at this particular time in a fashion that's pleasing to you. We believe, Lord, that you have designed each of us to do ministry in to some capacity. We do know that you've given each of us gifts that we are called on to use and really commanded to use. Someday we'll give an account for using them or not. And so we ask today that you would help them as they become a part of prayer faith to discover their gifts and to use those gifts for your glory. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would use them in a fashion, a manner that's pleasing to you, that you'll let them be light and salt where they are in their classrooms and the workplace. Wherever they go on their daily agenda, we ask that you would be with them and let them be light and salt where they are. And we ask, God, that as their church home, that you would help us to be faithful to pray for them and uphold them and help them to be accountable for their gifts and things. Someday, Lord, we'll all give an account. And so help us, God, to provide an opportunity here at Prayer of Faith for them to work and to use their skills and gifts that you've given to them and help us to be a support and a family to them the way you have been to us. We ask, Lord, also that you would just place ministering angels around them and a hedge of protection and use them for your glory wherever you send them this world. And we thank you, Lord, for their new commitment, for their dedication. We ask that all the days as they're here joined to Prayer of Faith would be a blessing and that we will be a blessing to them as well. And we thank you, Father, for joining to us today. Let us be faithful in loving them and supporting them and helping to nurture them into the fullness of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. 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 God bless. Bless you, Brian. Bless you. Bless you, Donette. Bless you. Bless you, children. Man. We always like to have fun when we have new members. And the other night, I said, Brian had put his ready to join. And I said, you know, you just need to get up. You'll give the message Sunday. He's like, so not really. All you got to do is stand there and look nice. And he said, well, I can do that. So, you know, sometimes we have to put it in perspective, don't we? It's not all that difficult to do. But I'm very proud of the families for joining and making a commitment. We live in a mobile society where you don't know where people stand and where they're headed. And so we appreciate your commitment to say, this is where God has planted me and this is where I'll grow and learn. Everybody have your Bible today? We're going to wrap up the series, Having a Blessed Year by Design. How many knows that I just mentioned a while ago, every day we're practicing something. Either practice good habits, bad habits. How many knows it's Super Bowl Sunday? 5:30 today, it all happens, you know. And there's a practice I heard on TV. It said Super Bowl Sunday is the biggest food day, second biggest food day in the nation. I guess Thanksgiving is the first, probably. So we're going to be practicing something. So everybody say moderation. Yeah, right. Well, put that down, you know. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can eat less wings if I have to. No. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we're going to really go back to our original text in Luke, the 19th chapter, because this is, how many knows, when you're looking for examples, you can't go any farther than Jesus. And I'll read the same scripture that we've read throughout this series. But just to remind you that this is the reason this works, and I hope for you that have been listening to the last few messages that it's not just, well, that's a good little word, pastor's preaching and all. I hope you will take this to heart and use this as kind of an outline to go from where you are right now to the next level, because I really believe this is a God-ordained thing that we plan and we have action steps in our lives and we set goals. In fact, whenever Jesus came to, before he came to this planet, you know, way back in Genesis, it said the seed of woman will bruise Satan's head and you will bruise his heel. Talking about that's the first action step when Jesus comes. That he's going to be born into this world. The seed of God would be placed in woman. So he's fully God, fully man. And so they had a plan in place long before Jesus came. And then he came and he lived a sinless life. That was a part of his action plan. And then he came to seek and save those which was lost. That's our scripture today in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his whole focus and his goal. And every day when Jesus got up, that's what he did. He went out and walked among the people and he never announced himself. He didn't send out flyers like Billy Graham does today. Nothing wrong with that. But Billy Graham takes a lot of effort in getting the word out that he's coming to town and usually draws a huge crowd and does a great work. But Jesus just simply was so focused on his action plan, his goal that God had set for him that he drew people to him every day because he was out and word got out. You know, if Jesus comes to your town, he's got a purpose and a plan. And if you can get around him, if you've got a need, he's come to seek and to save people that are lost and hurting and binding up hurting people. And so the word just spread because he was focused in completely on what God had called him to do. And I'll tell you, the most productive people on the planet are people that are focused. You ask young people, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know yet. Well, put some prayer to that because it's really important that you know about where you're headed. And here's what I'd suggest if you're a young person and you're starting on a career or heading somewhere. If you don't know exactly what all you're going to do, just have a clear picture of what your next step is. At least get that far. What your next step is. And maybe you're even adult. You know, you're an adult and you say, well, what are you going to do with your life the rest of your life? Well, I don't know. Well, what would be some God-honoring thing that you could do that you feel like God would bless and get that, make that as a goal? In our first message, we talked about the 10 life categories. Remember that? We handed out a sheet and I think there's still some back there if you want one. But 10 life categories, you know, like your spiritual life, married or single, your health, your finances, your personal growth, recreation, you know, right down the list. And so here's what we do as a life coach. We have what we call the wheel of life, and all these categories are placed around there. And then from 1 to 10, you'll mark out where you are on that. And then if you have a flat spot on your wheel, that's where you should start with setting a goal. For instance, but you could just do it this way. You could say from 1 to 10 with those 10 life categories, where am I in my spiritual life? Some of you might say, man, my spiritual life right now is just on fire for God. I've never been this anointed and never been this close to God. And so you'd put a 9 or 8 or something, you know. But maybe your financial goals is just it's flattened out, you know. It's just a 2. you know, debt and credit cards and all that stuff. So that would be a good place to start to say, okay, I'm going to change this around this year. This is going to be my year. Or maybe some of your spiritual goals are great and your financial goals are great and your health plan is great, but your relationship, you know, you got some relationships that's just not working. And so you say, okay, I'm going to get me an action plan and I'm going to start doing something. Now, when we're talking about relationships, it's more difficult, isn't it, because it's you and them. But I want to tell you something about the power of God. Don't ever underestimate the power of God when it's you and God and wanting to get restored to them. Never underestimate that power. I'm telling you, there is so much power in God restoring relationships when you have a right heart. And it may take a while. It may take a while. But when you start, you know, where maybe used to you'd get in this discussion or your tempers would flare or you'd say words. Well, you just stop that anymore. So you just say, no, we're not doing that anymore. Not on my side. Now they might. And this stuff works. I'm telling you, when you speak a soft answer, when you speak the truth in love, it works. Because it's a biblical principle. And so even if it's a relationship that needs to be restored, whatever it is, get that in your heart and do that. And then you set a goal. Remember what we've talked about, and I want to repeat it one more time. Clarity is power. Clarity is power. The more clear you are about your goal, the more powerful it'll become to you. You take any athlete, any top CEO, any organization, whatever it might be, that the more clear they are on what they want to do, there's power there. There's power there because you're just real clear about it. You see little athletes come up from like this tall and that's all they want to be, or actresses or whomever it may be come up from this tall. That's all I ever wanted to be. And all of a sudden, that's what they are because they're so focused on that. And so clarity is power. But number one, you set your goal. And on the back of your bulletin, there's a little outline if you want to look at it. But it says your goal. And Jesus was very clear. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he said, not only that, but I've come to seek the lost sheep of Israel. Remember I told you he's not coming to Oklahoma, not when he was walking around. See, we put it personalized, but he wasn't coming to Oklahoma. He's not going to Texas. He's in Israel. See, he's going for specific people. He's very keyed in on who he's going to minister to and not. And then you notice it says SMART goals. Remember we said, is it specific? Is your goal really specific? I mean, it's clear. And it's measurable. Measurable says what? It says that when I'm there, I know when I get to my first step, I'll know I'm here. You know, if it's real fuzzy and you set a goal and you don't even know where you're at in the goal, that's not clear enough. It needs to be measurable. When you go to a basketball game, you go watch the Thunder, they go like this, and if it goes through the hoop, how many knows that's measurable? The points go up. Today in the Super Bowl, guess what? If they get that little leather ball across the line, the points go up. They'll be singing, when the Saints go marching in, yeah. When they cross that line. Isn't it amazing how excited we get over a football game, you know? And I like football, so I'm not, you know, but it's amazing. But that's measurable, isn't it? So your goal should be measurable. You should say, you should be able to high-five when you get to your first step or your first, because you know that you've accomplished something. It's measurable. And then the next thing is the A in the SMART goal is attainable, and that deals with two things. Remember what I taught you? Are you able and are you willing? You got to be able to do your goal. You know, I love to go and watch the PBR, the bull riders, them stupid little boys that get on the 2,000-pound bull and think a helmet's going to help them. I love to watch that stuff, though, but I thought, I don't have that in my goals. I am smarter than that. You know, now I used to, man, I mean, when I grew up riding little bulls and we'd do out on the range and then we'd have a cattle drive in the evenings when we'd get them up, then they'd put us on some young bulls and we'd ride. And I, you know, at that age, but ride, I don't want to do that. You know, it's not attainable for me. Yeah, I'm smarter than a bull rider. Yeah. Not a fifth grader, but a bull rider. I'm smarter than a bull rider. And so I don't, you know, but is it attainable? And then are you willing? And that's where it breaks your heart when you see somebody that's got a big goal and they're not able. They're not able to do it. And then what's really heartbreaking is when you see somebody that's very able and they're not willing. They won't pay the price. I want to tell you something about our country. A lot of people are willing, are able to do a lot more than they're willing today. And until we get more willing, we're going to see bad things in our economy. I mean, I say we because I think a lot of us live below what we can really do because we're just not willing. We don't want to pay the price. Is it relevant? In other words, does it matter now? If it doesn't matter now, you probably won't do it. You know, if it's something somebody said, you know what you ought to do? You know, and that's why I know what I want to do. So when somebody says, you know what you ought to do? And I say, yeah, I do. Thank you very much. I know what I need to do. Because as a pastor, a lot of you will tell me what I need to be doing. Well, I already know what I need to be doing, so just save your breath. Just a thought. Is it time specific? Is it time specific? In other words, you're going to... And here's how you can tell if your goal is not really much of a goal. I'm going to start the first of the year. I'm going to start tomorrow. Next week, man, next week. Well, that's not... I'll tell you right now, you're not really on fire until you say, I'm going to start right now. You know? You're just going to start right now. When you say, I'm starting today, you know, you're serious about your goals. Now, we're not going to go in sequence here, but let me... So you set your goal, you get it clear. Look down at the very bottom. It says, what action steps do you want to take? And we looked at that last week, and it says, you know, remember I said you need to own it. It needs to belong to you. It's not something somebody said you need to do, but you need to own that. You need to say, this is what I feel that I need to do. God wants me to do. This is it. I'm doing it. Nobody else does it. I'm doing it. You own it. It's yours. Jesus didn't say, you know, if Judas run off, if Peter went up and rebuked him for doing the plan of God, he rebuked him back and said, get behind me, Satan. He said, I'm in this. I own this. Don't rebuke me. I will rebuke you back. This is my plan. I've got to go to the cross. I've got to die. And when Peter said, that's too difficult, and it'll never happen to you as long as I'm around, he looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. That's a satanic influence behind what you're saying. And I'm sure that was very rough on Peter, but that would teach you a lesson. I mean, he said that would teach you a good lesson if you told Jesus, you're not doing that, and he looked at you and he said, oh yeah, well get behind me, Satan. I'd be thinking next time, I might need to think before I tell Jesus what he needs to be doing and what he's not going to do. Because he's playing about his action step, he's focused on his action step, and he is headed to the cross. And that's the way we need to be focused. What is your action? Own that for yourself. And then it needs to line up with your values and it needs to be sustainable. That's what we talked about last week. Now, look up one up from there on the second from the bottom. Number three, we're going to title that number three. What would you like to focus on today? Everybody say today. Not tomorrow, not when you get around to it. Somebody gave me a little deal one time and said, what is it? It says around to it. This is around to it when you get around to it. Well, you got around to it now, so get after it. I thought that was pretty clever. Small things from you, small minds. Me and Bob laughed, didn't we? High fives, Bob. Come on. So, and here's the phrase. I love this phrase. The success of my life can be found in my daily agenda. The success of my life can be found in my daily agenda. Whatever you're doing in your daily agenda is going to matter. Whatever you're doing every day is going to matter. A while ago we said, remember, every day we're practicing something. Every day we're practicing something. Bad or good, and we will all give an account for what we're practicing every day. Every day. 5 days a week, you know what I have? I have 15 mini wheats in 2% milk. I'm practicing good health 5 days a week. Saturday, guess what I have? I go to IHOP. But 5 days a week, I'm eating my little mini. In fact, I count them out. Little mini. My son was here from Spain. He said, are you counting your cereal? I said, I sure am. Just leave me alone. Because when I wouldn't count my cereal, I looked like this. I said, I sure am. So I got me a plan. I own my plan. It works for me. Guess what I do every Sunday? They know at my donut shop what I'm going to do. Every Sunday I'm going to go by and get one old-fashioned glazed donut and pick it apart and eat it all the way out to the church. Say, thank you, Jesus. That works for me. Because I've been practicing all week not eating all that I used to eat. Used to every morning. It's just ritual. I get up. I go up to Hardee's or wherever and get me a biscuit and sausage and cheese and all that stuff, which I can do that on Saturdays now. But used to I did it every morning. But it works for me, and it's my daily focus. That's what daily, you know, it's my daily focus, so that's where I am. There's other personal disciplines that I do every day because that's what I want to reap. So So what is your action plan? What do you want to do? What do you want to focus on today? Every day you're going to be focused on something. Do you know that? Every day you're going to be focused on something. Every day. Here's what I know. Most of us, probably 80% of us, focus way too much on problems. Let me tell you something about focusing on problems. It'll just stress you out and kill you. Here's what you do on your focus. What am I going to focus on today? Identify the problem and move on! Quit rehearsing the stinking problem and move on. Get you act. What am I going to focus on today? Well, focus on one or two or three solutions today. You've stated the problem. I've stated the problem. Now move on. Jesus had a problem. Guess where he went? Right to his knees. Boom. They tried to stone him to death. They tried to trick him with the lawyers and the Pharisees. But you know what? I mean, he moved away from the problem. He got on his knees. He did whatever it took, but he focused on solutions. And that's what, what you're focusing on today, would you just write in there somewhere, I will focus on solutions. Because I'm telling you, we're so problem-oriented, we don't even think about what we're doing as we're stressing out and worrying and consumed with problems and consumed with why we can't. Do you know what? You can never go anywhere by confessing every day what you can't do. But you can say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing today. This is my first step. I'm clear about it and I'm headed from here. This is where I used to be, but I'm headed there. I think I shared this with you, but a few weeks ago I opened up a book from my school and college, and I'd written down a page full of goals, and I looked, and I just laughed. This is about probably a year and a half, 2 ago, and I thought, almost every one was complete. From traveling abroad, to finishing degrees, to finishing this, to doing this, almost every one of them. And so I had to start writing new things down. There's something powerful. The Bible talks about making the vision clear, and then taking those little steps to do that. Just one step after the other, making steps. So look at number four. What progress have you made? That's the third one down from the top. What progress have you made? This is where the rubber meets the road. You have to pull your head out of the sand and say, what progress have I? Is accountability. It's accountability. We're like an ostrich with their head stuck in the sand. You know, well, I'm going to do, and I'm someday. And you know, No. Just write down, what progress have I made? Jesus knew when He came, and for 30 years he was just honed and listening to God and preparing for ministry. And then when the time came, remember his mother, we looked at that in one of the lessons, his mother said, there's at the wedding, and his mother said, whatever he says to you when they ran out of line, do it. And Jesus looks at her, remember, and he said, well, it's not my time yet. Oh, really? And the Holy Spirit begins to deal with him, and his first miracle is about to happen, because you know what? This is his time. So he started making progress that day. In his first miracle was turning water into wine. And from that point on, he goes on and he's walking around. And this is the way he chose his disciples. Okay, you follow me. You follow me. You'll work. You follow me. You follow me. And they either did or didn't. And they just, most of them dropped their stuff and just follow him. You know, we're like, well, could you pray about something? Or, you know, we're afraid to ask people. Well, just pray and say, you know, I think God's chose you. That even works in family. You know, when there's chores to be divided and there's things to be done, you have to be very prayerful about that, because that can get you in trouble. You know, if I walked in and told Jana, I think God just wants you to do everything around here. That's what I feel. I really feel, you know, that she might push back just a little bit. She might be like Jesus. Get behind me, Satan, you know. But I'm saying we have a direct line with God that we can talk. When we did our communion a while ago, and the juice represents the blood, that gives us access to the throne of God, to hear from Him and get direction from Him. And so we just need to say, you know, what progress am I making? There needs to be steps here. If it's you're on a health plan, there needs to be a healthy body in place. If it's a financial plan, there needs to be some money available. You know, there needs to be some debt being paid. But what progress have I made? What progress have I made? And then number five. What challenges have you had? Anybody had a challenge this year yet? Oh, really? Already? Really? Really? Well, let's look at James. James, the first chapter. What challenges? You know, you notice in there it didn't say, have you ever had a challenge? Do you notice it didn't say, if perchance you had a challenge, what challenges have you had? You know what that just simply says? How many knows all God's children are going to have challenges? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that live godly. So everybody on this planet is immune to problems. So it's not a... And in fact, the only people use it seems surprised is the people just is in denial. Well, has this always happened to me? Ooh, you know, and just act like it's some kind of strange thing. In fact, he teaches us in Corinthians, he said, there's nothing taken to come upon you except that it's common to man. So some of you think your problems is bigger and worse than ours, but they're not. And you say, well, mine are. Well, they're not. They're not worse than somebody else. And I tell you what, somebody else on this planet's worse off than you are. There's some people that would love to be here sitting in church today. They're not able physically to even come to church. Say, hallelujah. Thank you for my health, Lord. See? There's always people that's worse off than you. But here's what I told our Wednesday night Bible students. We have some of the best Bible students in classes. I love to discuss the Bible with them. But we're talking about this, and I said, get a new mindset for challenges. How many knows? Because we're all going to have challenges. I mean, we're just, none of us are exempt. I think when we get to heaven, we won't have challenges. He said it's better than we can ask or think, so I can think that much at least, can't you? No more challenges. No more taxes. No more calories. No more rust. You know, happy homeowner. You know, I love to see young homeowners and then their hot water heater. Summer's been having trouble with their hot water heater and stuff, and I think, yeah, welcome to the world. You know, the challenge, things break, things wear out, and so it teaches us to be responsible and plan for challenges that's going to happen. They're going to happen. How many knows your car is going to break? Whether you prepare or not, your car is going to break. Oh, not my car. Yes, your car. Your Harley will go down from time to time, Bob. Yeah. That's why I try to always buy new cars every 2 or 3 years. Now, I'm not right now because I have some other financial goals, but usually because I don't know how to mechanic and I just know it's going to break. It's going to break. So just get ready. But listen to what James teaches you about problems. What challenges have you had? Get a different mindset. It says in James 1 and 2, my brethren, Christian people, he says, count it all what? Stress? Count it all stress. No, he doesn't say that, does he? Count it all what? Joy. Calm delight. How many says, that just sounds just like me when I go through a problem. I'm just a ball of calm delight. See, you'd think you'd want to haul somebody off to the mental house, wouldn't you? If we practice what Jesus said. How you doing? I'm doing wonderful. I'm going through this huge trial. It's such a joy. They say, what? Yeah, that's biblical. Didn't you know that? Hadn't you had a trial? You ought to try it sometime. It's just a joy. Yeah. Well, do you think God would put something in the Word that would be... do you think He's just trying to make fun of us? I don't. I think He's saying, you know what, church, for the brethren, for Christians, you need to get a different mindset when you go through trials and troubles. And it works. I mean, for young people. In high school and junior high. And I know there's all kinds of stresses on you young people going to elementary school and junior high and all. I know there is. We had bullies when I was in school. We had one kid, his name was Johnny, and Johnny was just a bully, just an aggressive kid. I never forget, he got a 125 Honda, and he'd lay rubber almost the whole block, squealing his tires the first half of the block, trying to stop the thing the second half of the block, you know. That's how aggressive he was. And he was just a bully. I mean, he'd look at us kids and he'd say, carry my books or carry my gym stuff, you know. And he is a grade older than I was. And I just never could yield to that. I thought, I'm probably going to get killed, but I just can't carry your stuff. I just got too much pride, you know. And so he pulled it on me, though, one day, you know, carry that stuff. And he just shoved it on me, and I just go, boom, throw it down on the ground. I said, carry your own stuff. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to get killed. Well, that's what I thought. So I know you have troubles and trials, and then you get grown, and then, you know, you try to make all the money meet and your health issues and all this kind of stuff. And so I know we always have trials and tribulation. But I'm telling you, I think what he's trying to tell us here, when you're setting your goals and you're setting your sights, just remember things are going to happen unexpectedly that you wouldn't have happen, but it's going to happen. And then sometimes we just make matters worse because we don't take care. We're not good stewards over what God gave us. And so we got to deal with both of those. But he says, my brethren, Christian people, Christ followers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And he said, here's why. Knowing that the testing of your faith, when trials come, it's going to test our faith. And he said, you know what? That's when you know. How many knows if you squeeze an apple, what's going to come out? Lemon juice? No. What's going to come out? Apple juice. When you squeeze an orange, what's going to come out? Orange juice. And that's all he's saying. When as a Christian person, when I squeeze you with trials and tribulations, something's going to come out and you can identify where you are on your spiritual growth plane. I mean, it's not hard to act Christ-like when everything's going good. You know, we come in skipping and big smile on her face. Hallelujah. How you doing? Oh, it's wonderful, you know. And then you come in like... What he's saying is, when you're in this mode, I can teach you something. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces... When your faith and my faith is under pressure, it's like a coal under pressure, they say, that produces a diamond. That's the way it is with us. That's when we can really grow. When Jesus was in the garden, his sweat was like great drops of blood. He got up and he had under pressure. The pressure's off because he heard from the throne and he said, it is enough. It is enough. And he dusted his robe off and he went on to the cross. But there was that pressure there. He knew he had it. He told his disciples that was his next action step was to go to the cross. But when it came, it was pressure for him. It was a challenge. And he didn't realize, I don't think, the human side and what pressure he was going to feel knowing that those stripes are going to be laid on his back. I mean, he's ever seen the Passion, Mel Gibson's Passion. We was talking about that last night with some friends, and they've never seen it. So what do you think? And I said, it was gruesome. They beat Jesus. I can remember thinking they just need to stop and crying when that came on. And then Mary, remember Mary, his mother, she's walking around and she can sense his presence. That was the most choked up, even as much as him getting a beating. That when she walked around and she's sensing his presence and she falls down on the ground. And then you know how they do in the movies, they just pan the camera down and he's like below the concrete in this courtyard down underneath in the dungeon being held. You know what they're showing us? Challenges. Real challenges that his mother faced. Real challenges that Jesus faced. Challenges just happen. So get a different mindset. A mindset that says, God will bring me through purposes, even in plans that doesn't fit and that I really wouldn't want to go through, but he'll bring me through trials and different tests to see where I am and see what's inside and what's up here. And get a different mindset about problems. Instead of playing the victim. You know, we always want to play the victim. Oh, poor me. Well, stop that. You can't reach goals with a victim mindset. We all could play the victim if we wanted to. Jesus didn't play the victim. He said, that's why I've come. This trial here is why I've come. In fact, if you read the Scripture, it tells us that in His early ministry, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. The Holy Spirit led him into the trial. And so sometimes we don't fall into them. Sometimes we're led into them. Kind of like when your kid, you know, wants to do something. And you tell them, well, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And they say, well, I want to. Well, go right ahead and let's see, you know. Bump your little head, you know. Get your fingers smashed. Sometimes you just let them. You just lead them right on in. And they're like, you know, what happens, you thought was going to happen, happens. And they're like, wah! sure. And you say, uh-huh. But it teaches them something, doesn't it? It says, you know, you'll listen. Father knows best. Mother knows best. So he said it produces patience. And then it says, but let patience have its perfect work. You have to let patience have its perfect work. Because if you don't let patience have its perfect work, how many knows what you're going to let happen? You're going to let stress happen all over the place. So what challenges will I face? That's just the way it is. And it says, if you'll let patience have its perfect work, it says that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when you get to that, what challenges am I facing? Just know that's, I'm going to get a different mindset. I'm not going to be problem oriented anymore. I'm going to be solution oriented. I'm going to say, I know the problem. I'm not going to rehearse it anymore. Now I'm going to start taking positive steps to get out of this thing. Because they're coming. They're just, I wish they weren't, but they're coming. Number six. That's the second one from the top. What wins can we celebrate? Today, some of you will celebrate because your team won the Super Bowl. How many, let's just take a bowl. How many is looking for the Saints to win? Let me see. Okay. How many is looking for the Colts to win? Let me see. Oh, the Saints are favored in this room. All right. How many knows when it's all done, we'll still be saved and on our way to heaven? Woo! And that's what we should celebrate. Man, when your team loses, it doesn't affect your salvation. When your house goes back to, because you couldn't pay for it and you done all you could, I've had that happen to me, then you're still going to heaven. I still got a mansion in heaven paid for with no taxes and no insurance, and I knew that, and I was just started our church when I lost my first home. Well, my only home I lost. Hallelujah. But boy, did I learn a lesson. And I had, it wasn't that I didn't have the ability. I just felt like God said, you can't go leave this state. Because I was getting ready to leave state and go set up shop. And I prayed and just like Jesus. And He said, you're going to just bear through this one. You weren't a good steward. And I got ministry for you here. And so about 24 years ago, almost 23 plus years ago, I started this church. I got a church and I lost a house. So I don't believe that's God. Well, that's your problem. That's just what I believe. And it's been fruit in here ever since for 20-something years, and so I believe it was. But I'm saying, and I can remember us stressing out about it and my wife supporting me. Thank God for a great wife supporting me and saying that this is what God wants you to do, and we'll stay here, and when we built the church, and that was more important than a house. But you know what? I learned something. And now some of you ladies came over here and said, ooh, you got a nice house. Well, yeah, we do. We do now. And it's secure. I'm not worried about the economy now, but you know what? I took some planning on my part. It took some goals and setting goals and things. And so, all I'm saying is, we're all going to lose something. You can just bank on it. We're all going to lose something. But here's the thought. What are you going to say? I'm celebrating now. I lost some things, but I'm celebrating now. In fact, can I tell you something? One of the happiest times of my life was the first 6 months to a year of just starting that church. That was so fulfilling to me. We had to trade down brand new cars down to just something I paid cash for, like a little Citation that was just, it was a big trade down. But I'm telling you, we drove that little thing and we were just so happy and fulfilled inside because we're doing ministry. Man, this is good, isn't it? And so, yeah, it'd be a little better if we had a newer car, but this is good, isn't it? And we were just happy. They're just happy doing this. So what can you celebrate? How many knows the Bible says Luke 15:7 says, whenever one soul gets saved, heaven celebrates. Can you imagine? And I believe there's hundreds of people on a daily basis getting saved. And heaven, just Gabriel and Michael and Jesus, just, high-fiving. So, Devin recommitted his life to Jesus. Yeah! Joanne's in church. They're giving her life to Jesus. Woo! Pastor Jack got saved again. Yeah. they're partying in heaven. Celebrate your wins. Come on, celebrate each other. Tell us your wins when you come in the church. as you set your goals, tell us your wins and let us celebrate with you. I love when we celebrate your birthday. You had nothing to do with when you were born, but we're like, woo! I like that. Maybe we're celebrating because you made it another year. Good for you. You know, I don't know, but I like that. We celebrate with each other. So celebrate your wins. You know, yeah, anniversaries, whatever, you know, celebrate. Set you a goal, and when you meet that first step, and here's the key, make little bitty steps if you need to. If it's an area you've struggled with and struggle with, I'll guarantee, try this. Just set a little bitty goal that you say, I could do that. Just a little bitty goal. Because there's something in your brain, when you're all, most of us are all stressed out, and so there's something in our brain that says, oh, I can't take anything else on. Anybody in here ever heard, my plate's full? Well, how many knows if you get sick, you're just going to stop? If you get sick enough, you're just going to stop. With that full plate, and you're just going to let that full plate do whatever that full plate's got to do. So all I'm saying is, do a little bitty step. Do a little bitty step. And something you know you can't fail at, and do that. Try that, would you? And then when you get that little bitty step done, come in and we'll just high five with you and we'll celebrate with you and we'll just tell you how wonderful you are. So what wins can we celebrate? Celebrate your victory. Celebrate you. Celebrate your gifts. Celebrate who you are. Don't forget to celebrate. We'll celebrate a football game. Surely your life's worth celebrating. Celebrate your victory. Tell us what you're accomplishing. Tell us what you're doing. Tell us what hurdle you came over. You know, Pastor, we had an old terrible strain on a relationship with Uncle so-and-so, and I went and told him I loved him, and now it's restored. High five. I struggled in this area all my life, but you know what I did today? Today I did this. Celebrate that with each other. Father, thank you for showing us some biblical principles that says you can have a blessed year if you'll do it by design, if you'll do it through godly principles. If we'll use these principles that really you've set forth, if we'll identify things that you said you need to identify, there will be challenges, church. There will be times when you have adversity, but count it all joy. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to identify these things. And we ask in Jesus' name that every person in this place that's heard these messages, that they'll set some God-honoring goals to say, I want to be a good steward over everything that God has given to me. I want to have an intentional life. I want to live life intentionally. I don't want to float around and wonder what's going to happen or give my health or my finances or my relationships or my personal growth or my marriage or my single life. I don't want to just leave that to chance. I want to be the master of that, because God has given me that responsibility and He's given me the ability to steward it well. And so we ask in Jesus' name, as we write our goals down and as we set these, that You'll help us to tweak them and critique them until we have great clarity. And then, Lord, we pray that after we have great clarity, You'll help us to begin to take those action steps and then take the next step and measure where we are and begin to celebrate and move forward. Because I know what it's going to do, Lord. It's going to bring significance to us as we begin to steward these areas. And so I pray anointing and blessing and wisdom and knowledge over everyone today that has written down a goal or that will write down a goal. And I pray that You'll bless them in their efforts and give them a great anointing to achieve their goals, these God-honoring goals. We ask it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm looking for a fruit party where the fruit of all these goals come back in and they give us reports and we just get to celebrate with them and the goals that they've achieved. We ask this in Jesus' name and for Your glory. Amen. While Christians praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ as your personal Savior, would you just lift your hand, or you need to recommit your life? Maybe you've strayed from the Lord and